A short and brief, inshallah, it should actually be Mufti Sahib Mu'azzam's dars. They requested our Jamaat to speak for a little while, inshallah. One narration, one incident, like we said, for Imam Rumi, rahmatullahi alayhi. Similarly, another, in his Mathnavi, he gives another parable story. And briefly, it is about that there was a custom in a particular village where people would gather snakes. And they will put it out in display. And the one with the hugest, the largest snake, they will get a reward or a prize or something. So different people, they plan different ways to try to get a snake and yet not to be bitten. The one person thought to himself that in order not to get bitten, let me go to the North Polar region where it's very cold. There he saw a humongous snake that was still lifeless, which he thought to be dead. He said, this is easy, I can wrap it around, put it in my back, bring it out the following day. And that's what he did. Everybody bought this different, and he bought his huge snake. Everybody gasped in expense. How did you manage to catch such a big snake without getting bitten? So he started concocting a story. That climbed up this tree and went underneath this rock and jumped on top and wrung its neck, all of this. While he was saying all of this, the rays of the sun were hitting the back of the snake. The snake in our North Polar region wasn't dead. It was just frozen because of ice. But now the rays of the sun was melting the ice, the snake came back to life. When the snake came back to life, it looked around and saw that this is not my natural habitat. It's not my home. Who brought me, who took me away from my habitat and brought it here? He looked around until he finally recognized the snake catcher. The same person who a few minutes later was getting the acclaim and the applause of all the crowd. Now, he's running away from that very same snake. Until eventually the snake went and bit him that caused his demise. So from here, my dear brother, we learn valuable lessons. That snake, which is normally, okay, a dangerous, which can lead to a person's death, destruction. For us, that snake is those acts that we do in displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way a snake gives destructive life, okay, of temporary life, these the acts of disobedience are destructive for the hereafter. So we all have to assess that not now in Ramadan, where a person may seem very pious and do acts of piety, we feel very pious, but that's because of the environment. We're fasting most of the day, we're restricted, we're in the path of Allah. Somebody might be in a khanka, in etikaf, where we're not, or we are in umrah, the haramain, so we're restricted. That's not real piety. It is piety. But we think back, maybe 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. What were those acts that we were doing that were displeasing in Allah, which was an impediment, a burden, an obstacle between us and the pleasure of Allah. And these very same thing today, it's not dead, it's frozen. If we don't cut it here in the path of Allah, we don't cut it in the month of Ramadan, then when the Eid moon will come, and the rays will hit, the same thing will come back to life again. It's easy to say God over Allah or in the masjid spending predominant of our time. If we had this habit before, then what will happen when the month of Ramadan will end? The environment, we won't find it conducive. Those acts of disobedience will come back again. That's why, my dear, this is the maqsad of the month of Ramadan. Like we know, the ulama will tell us again and again, is to bring the God consciousness, the awareness of Allah. When the ma'rifah, the recognition of Allah will come, then my dear brother, it will compel a person to love and to fear Allah, which is the maqsad of our life. To obey Allah, to recognize Allah, to love Allah, to fear Allah. And like how when a person is ill, they put a thermometer into the mouth or to gauge the temperature. So in the same way, Islam is not a religion of just lip service, it's one of action. In the same way, our wives, no matter how often we tell them, I love you, I love you, I love you, they'll be very pleased with our proclamation. But if our action is contrary to what we are claiming, eventually she'll say, less of the speak, show me that you love me. In the same manner, there's a thermometer. Amongst them, the first sign, a person loves Allah, is the prior. What do they prioritize? Whenever there is a competition between two things, what do we compromise? Our status, our position in our family, in society, our desires, or the pleasure of Allah. What do we give priority to? The love of Allah dictates that we give priority to Allah. Like when a person loves their wife, or the parents that love their children, what does a mother do? That child that is ill, the child that's crying, the mother puts everything to one side. Total dedication to that child. That proves love. So we have to assess and put that thermometer in our lives. When there is honesty in business or dishonesty in the pleasure of Allah, what do we give priority to? In the same way, what they call private integrity, meaning that it's easy to become pious standing here and talking. It's easy to do acts of piety in the path of Allah or in the month of Ramadan. But we check, we ask ourselves that piety in isolation, in solitude, when we got our phone in our hands, are we still as pious and obedient? When the doors are locked and the lights are off, are we still as obedient? We've boarded a flight away from here, we've gone on a holiday, away from our environment, our climate. Are the still commandments of Allah still the same? So real piety is piety of isolation. That how, what are we like at that time? In the same manner, obedience in difficulty. It's easy to be obedient when things are easy. But when things are contrary. For example, that's why one of our big scholars in Leicester, he had a lot of the ulama that were there. Those ulama that run institutions. Those ulama who run maktabs. There were zimidars of the people of Tabligh there as well. There were people high in the line of Tazkiyah there as well. And this Mawlana then asked everybody there, that some of you have been, some of us have been doing khidma for 30, 35, 40 years in different fields. How do we know that we've achieved our objective? The pleasure of Allah. How do we know after all of these years? What's the thermometer? And you know what he said? He said the marriage of one's own children. The marriage of one's own children. He said nothing will test a person more than this. Then he gave an example. Somebody may have a business or a home in conventional mortgage in interest. Now they've gone in the path of Allah. They've gone in the company of the ulama. They may have gone for umrah. Now the realization has come. Now they want to change. Remove it. Who will they have to displease? Maybe the wife. The children don't care. They don't even know. Employers don't care. Relatives don't care. Friends don't care. Then he gave another example. There may be a TV in the house. Now we know the family are sitting collectively, spending hours and hours watching impermissible things. Now the awareness have come. We need to get rid of it. Who'll be displeased? The wife maybe and the children. Neighbors, relatives, employers don't care. And the third example he gave. That a person now got a beard. Now he realized a very big sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and so forth. And now they have this. Who do they have to displease? Maybe the wife. She said, you don't look as good. Maybe the children, Papa, you look older. Maybe in some places the employees might say, I'm sorry, but you can't work with this. Relatives don't care, friends don't care. However, wedding of one's own children, that's when you'll find a huge tsunami coming towards us. The first one is the child that's getting the wife. If we want a marriage of simplicity, where there is no disobedience of Allah, we want to sow the seeds of foundation of that marriage in the correct way. Now, the first opposition will be maybe our partner. What will they say? It's the first marriage of the child. Our first marriage. Everybody else does it like this. How can it be any different? How can we? To convince her is the hardest. If she's convinced, that's one. Then the child is getting married himself or herself. Are they ready? If he or she might be ready, how about who they get married to? Will they be ready? How about theirs? Their families, their parents, and their relatives. Now in this one, we'll have to displease so many. But that's obedience in difficulty. What do we give priority to at that time? Do we give priority to culture? Do we give priority to a position in society? Do we give priority to a wife and children? Or do we give piety to Allah and the Prophet ﷺ? That's why the hadith in nearest meaning, Nabi ﷺ mentioned, when a person goes to please Allah, and in pleasing Allah, they will displease the people. Allah will take responsibility to please those who you displease in pleasing Allah. But when we displease Allah, and in displeasing Allah, we please the people, Allah says, you stay back. Now I'll take responsibility. I will displease those who you please while displeasing me. When our objective is to please people and at the same time to please Allah, both together, then the formula is very simple. We look at what Allah desires. That even though superficially it might seem the relatives might be displeased, Allah, who's the possessor of happiness, respect, Allah says, I take responsibility. And who can question Allah when Allah decides to do something? No one. So obedience in difficulty, restraint, like a person puts a foot in the car, the brakes, when the lights or the speeding cameras. So this is what taqwa. So this is the month of Ramadan. And Allah SWT has given us a wonderful opportunity here in the month of Ramadan, and those of us who are in the path of Allah, in the path of Allah. I'tikaf will be coming soon, inshallah. I'm sure many people from here will be doing i'tikaf. Those who are studying in Darul Uloom, third year, fourth year, fifth, all year. The whole maqsad of all of this is one. Final example, one of our elders, Mawla Ibrahim Sahib, you know, once we were there, and he said, one is a banana and one is a banana peel. When we go to purchase a banana from the marketplace, they both come together. But we are paying money for the banana, not for the peel. But you're not going to take the peel out. It'll get rotten. They both come. But as soon as we purchase both, what do? We chuck the peel away. We keep the banana. We cook it, eat it, whatever. He said, Asal is deen. These five amals, or the different efforts of deen, they're there to protect our iman. Allah won't question us about Allah will question us about our deen. So we need to protect our deen. So whatever medium that we have chosen, whatever, but we have to understand, put the maqsad in front. What's the purpose of it? The mode of transport is not the purpose, the destination is. We can take different modes of transport, but the destination is the same. Jannah, the pleasure of Allah. For that, Allah has given us a wonderful opportunity. Either those in the path of Allah, those who frequent in the masjid, or those in the month of Ramadan, to be ensure that those snakes, those things that are displeasing to Allah, those things that are an impediment on us, may be reaching paradise, in the path of Allah, when they're not dead, they are frozen, we cut them. And how do we cut them? By giving dawah against it, by making an effort, practical effort. So a person, for example, we finish now, inshallah, a person may think, okay, look, I've got a mobile phone, and on his mobile phone, I'm wasting a lot of time on YouTube. Or I'm wasting a lot of time on this particular app. Now remorse is there, grief is there, nadamat is there. He can give doubt against it. Until Amali Mashq is not done, then this will come back to life after Ramadan. What's the Amali Mashq? Get rid of it. You don't need that device. You don't need those apps. Get rid of it. This is Amali Mashq. And la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nothing will happen from other than from the will of Allah. Either acts of goodness or abstain. Then we make dua to Allah. Allah, I've tried. I'm making an effort. I'm taking the practical measures. Now Allah, you help me and you keep me steadfast on it. May Allah give us all the tawfiq, inshaAllah. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.